From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he concludes a message bearing the title, Death Changed Forever by the Death of Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 7. Thou whom my soul loveth. It is well to be able, without any if or but, to say of the Lord Jesus, Thou whom my soul loveth. Many can only say of Jesus that they hope they love Him, they trust they love Him, but only a poor and shallow experience will be content to stay here. No one ought to give any rest to his spirit till he feels quite sure about a matter of such vital importance. We ought not to be satisfied with a superficial hope that Jesus loves us and with a bare trust that we love Him. The old saints did not generally speak with buts and ifs and hopes and trusts, but they spoke positively and plainly. I know whom I have believed, said Paul. I know that my Redeemer liveth, said Job. Get positive knowledge of your love of Jesus, and be not satisfied till you can speak of your interest in Him as a reality, which you have made sure by having received the witness of the Holy Spirit and His seal upon your soul by faith. True love to Christ is in every case the Holy Spirit's work, and must be wrought in the heart by Him. He is the efficient cause of it. But the logical reason why we love Jesus lies in Himself. Why do we love Jesus? Because He first loved us. Why do we love Jesus? Because He gave Himself for us. We have life through His death. We have peace through His blood. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. Why do we love Jesus? Because of the excellency of His person. We are filled with a sense of His beauty, an admiration of His charms, a consciousness of His infinite perfection. His greatness, goodness, and loveliness in one resplendent ray combine to enchant the soul till it is so ravished that it exclaims, Yea, He is altogether lovely. Blessed love this, a love which binds the heart with chains more soft than silk and yet more firm than adamant.
And pardon from every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, the stretch from sky to
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Chapter 4 of the book of Joshua recounts God's instructions to Joshua to take 12 stones out of the dry riverbed and to set them up as a memorial on the Canaan side of the river. In addition, he was to set up a pillar of 12 stones in the riverbed itself. In applying this text to the work of Christ, Dr. Cairns has been showing the effects of Christ's sacrifice on death itself. By his death on the cross, Christ took something out of death, and he put something else into it. We've seen that Christ removed the sting of death and the curse of death. In addition, Christ has removed the darkness associated with death, as well as the fear of death, which holds all sinners in its bondage. As Dr. Cairns considered what Christ has put into death, he first of all observed that he deposited the memory of his victory over the last enemy. Also, the Savior put into death the assurance of His grace, the promise of His presence as His people pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Finally, Christ has put into death the certainty of immediate glory. In Paul's words, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Death Changed Forever by the Death of Christ.
What is it that Christ has put into death? First and foremost, He has put in death the memory of His victory. He is inviting the scrutiny of His people. He's inviting their meditation upon this. This is something that says, in effect, look here. Don't get your eyes on other things. Don't let your imagination run away with you. Don't get yourself all tied in knots worrying about this circumstance of death or that circumstance. When you die, how you die, of what you die, what will happen to you when you die, what will happen to those you leave behind when you die. Listen, he says, while it is prudent to set your house in order while you're in life, so that at any moment you're ready to die, every Christian should, I think, do that much. While that is prudent, he said, get your eyes where I stood in death. Go back to Calvary. Understand what I did. Get the memory of my victory. The reality of that victory. The glory of that victory. Suffuse your soul in the light of that victory. But I tell you, when that dawns upon the child of God, when that finally gets through to him, it changes his attitude to life. And it changes his attitude to death. Once his soul is filled with the victory of Christ. I've already quoted that mighty, thunderous word of the Savior, where he looks death straight in the eye and he said, I will be your plague. I will be your destruction. Thank God he fulfilled his solemn pledge. This is what Christ has put in death for us. The constant realization of his victory. So the enemy has already been defeated. Now, wouldn't military men, when they go out to some great battle, wouldn't they be greatly comforted if they knew the enemy had already been defeated? That all the rounds of ammunition in their big guns were only blanks? That their weapons were useless? Couldn't the meanest soldier on earth fight and win in that war? Yet, my friend, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus has done with the great last enemy. Don't let us be fooled by Satan to living in defeat or fear, as some shrinking violets. No, let us quit ourselves like men in the battle for truth, realizing we can live in the victory and die in the victory because Christ has won the victory. He placed that in death. And then he placed something else in death for every Christian. That is the assurance of his grace. That's why we sang this morning from the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It has often been said that Christians don't walk the valley of death. They walk the valley of the shadow. And you never can have a shadow without a light. The Sun of Righteousness is still shining. And he says, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I will be with you. My rod and my staff, will comfort you. I want you to understand the assurance Christ gives to His people. Does He leave them when they come to face the last great enemy? It's been my experience as I have visited many, many, many Christians over the years that the most nervous, the most lacking in confidence, men and women, young and old, when they're saved, when they actually come to face death, the presence of Christ is real. Very real. I've often said to you, at the risk of sounding like a charismatic, and anybody who knows me knows that I am the polar opposite of a charismatic, but at the risk of sounding like one, I have often said that I take very, very seriously those repeated testimonies from the deathbeds of Christians when they speak of the actual glowing presence of the Lord Jesus Christ there. I am not saying for a minute that that is expressed in every case. Some Christians are beyond expressing anything when they come to die. But there have been sufficient, and I have known of enough of them, where Christians, in that great last moment, are assured of the presence of the Lord, where they actually reach out their hands to grasp the hand of their beckoning Redeemer. I don't think those are tricks of the mind. I don't think they are merely the foolish desires of delirious people. I believe with all my heart they are but the fulfillment of the promise of our risen Christ. I will be with you. I will be with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. There is the assurance of grace. Now He has put that right on the Jordan bed of death. Oh, let us be assured, let us be encouraged that our Savior, our Christ, will not fail us in the end. And then, of course, the final thing He has put into death is the certainty of immediate glory. That's what He has put in. I said a while ago, He took out the curse. He took out the punitive aspect of death. Now, we can say the converse is true. He has put into it the certainty of immediate glory. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 in the first 8 verses. I'll not read all 8 verses, but think of these words. We know. Now let me stop there. There's nobody else in God's earth, of any religion, of any nation, there is nobody else but a Christian can look at death and say, we know. Every other theory is just that. It's a theory. Muhammad died and he was buried and he is mouldered in the dust. Who is he to talk about death? Life beyond the grave. He knows no more than I. It's true of every other religion, every other prophet. But the Christ of God has gone into death. He has risen again from the dead. He is the Prince of Life and Glory. He is the ever-living One. He is the conqueror of the grave. And He is the one who talks to us with certainty of life in Him beyond the grave. So therefore, we know. This is not a theory. This is not a shot in the dark. This is not a hopeful philosophy. This is not the grappling of a blind man after something that will give him comfort. This is the statement from the throne of God's glory on the authority of the one who is the everlasting light. He says concerning his people, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Thank God, we know, says Paul, we know if today this body and soul were to be separated, and this body were to be smitten down in death, that we have a place in heaven. We know it. He goes on to say, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But when we're absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord. We know that. This is how Christ has changed death forever. The most amazing, startling change. Whereas for the unbeliever, death is the exit from this life and the entrance into everlasting doom, gloom, torment and damnation. For the believer, death is the exit from this life into the immediate presence of God. Where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more disappointments, no more failures, but the presence, the joy, the fullness of God's provision in His immediate presence with Christ. That's why Paul could say, to be with Christ is very far better. Death is a universal reality. I want you to understand that you play the fool when you refuse to face that. And I don't care if you're in your teens or what age you are in life. If you refuse to contemplate the universal reality of death, you're playing the fool. For death stalks you every step you take. It stalks you every minute of every day. And the only reason it has not cut you down with the sweep of its mighty scythe is the grace of God. It is real. There is but a step between me and death. If you're without Christ this morning, death has a sting. Death has a curse. Death has a darkness. Death has a fear. Because death is the first installment of hell. But the gospel calls you to the Prince of Life. The gospel calls you to Him who is the plague of the grave and the destruction of death, the risen, glorified Christ of God. He will remove the sting, the curse, the darkness, and the fear. And He will grant you His victory. He will grant you His presence. And He will grant you eternal glory. Make sure you know Christ. Man, woman, boy or girl, make no delay in closing with Christ. Come to Him. Embrace Him. Receive Him. And you shall live with a life that death cannot extinguish. If you are a Christian, the whole burden of this message really is to be a comfort to your soul, an assurance, an encouragement, a strength, a support for your soul. Believer, get your eyes on that place where the feet of our great priest stood. See the monument of his everlasting victory. Let the faith of Jesus Christ confirm your heart and fill you with confidence to live and boldness to die and face the judgment. Remember, death has been changed forever by the death of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.